Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns Audio Produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. We have a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get access to two extra extra episodes a week. And if you like us and want to support us, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and we'll read it on the air. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, our good friend, host of the Luck Stops Here podcast, it's Scott Bowser.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm glad to be back.
What's up, man? Yeah, how long have you lived in Vegas now?
2 years.
2 years. It seems like it was less than a year ago.
Well, because COVID erased a year of our lives, so yeah. It was really, really easy to make. It does seem like just like a year ago I left, but no, I'm in it to win it now.
What, Vegas tried to open up like super early. What was that like?
You know, the numbers here were great at first, and because everybody stayed home for the most part, it was chill. And then when it started opening up, like when it did like a soft reopen kind of last summer, it was all people from California and Arizona came, and that's when the numbers went up. Like,
it's a tourist spot. Like, what did they expect? Of course, people are coming. Like,
well, and especially when like Arizona and California were both pretty hard hit, and flights weren't coming in and out of here for the most part, or they were really limited. So, who's going to come here? The people right next door, and especially Arizona people. That's straight like river trash, man. Like they're coming over here, they're bringing all kinds of diseases and, you know, pests and what have you, body lice, all the other great things that Arizona.
Do they call them zonies out there?
We do now.
Because that's what they call them in San Diego. And all San Diegans hate them. Like, or get these zonies out of here.
Yeah, because they go to TJ.
Yeah, that and a lot of them just go there instead of anywhere else because – I don't know.
It's because it's 120 degrees in Arizona and like 85 in San Diego.
It was like 118 today when I was leaving work here.
Fucking Jesus Christ. Go on.
Oh, I was just gonna say with basketball, I don't like that the Phoenix. I like their retro outfits that they're ripping off from the old Nuggets, but I hate that it says the Valley on them. Like nobody knows what the Valley is in Arizona.
Yeah, the Phoenix, the Glendale Valley. Yeah,
I actually asked someone from Phoenix that, and she was like, "Yeah, I don't know. There's like a valley that goes through the middle of town," and that was the answer. I was like, "Okay, I guess that's good enough." Like everybody has to have a nickname jersey now.
Well, it's like the rich people that are trying to connect to everyone else. You know, like calling. What do they call the Staples area downtown? They try to come up with some hip name for it.
Like, I don't know.
I'm like just downtown north of shithole. Like, what did you call it?
Isn't it all Portland's fault because they got those Rip City jerseys everything became something city for like 2 years? Like,
I made a Seattle Supersonics expansion franchise on NBA 2K, and I made that. I made them something cool. Oh, Grunge City. That's what I made their uniforms.
Did you trade for oh shit, what's his fucking name?
Dame?
The Nets guy.
Oh, Durant?
Come back home. No. Yeah, Durant.
No, I didn't do that, but what I did do is draft like all these like the computer created Euro guys. So I had this badass Swedish point guard and this badass Croatian small forward. And my guys rocked it. Like they were like by year three as an expansion franchise, we were in the finals.
Like, do you play the games or do you just run it like a manager?
I simulate them until the playoffs, and then I'll jump in key moments of like an elimination game. Like I'm gonna make sure we're gonna close out game. My team's up 3-2. I come in the last 2 minutes of game six, closes it out. I like the baseball game, the MLB, the show. Because it's designed to do that, where you just play big moments. So it'll be like, you'll say, "Hey, it's the seventh inning. Your guy's throwing a perfect game. You think you can come in and finish it off?" And it's like, "Oh yeah, give that a whirl."
That's awesome.
I always hated it. I was always like a shortstop, and anytime it would be like, "Oh, key moment," it's like, "Oh, I'm gonna fuck this up, dude. They're gonna hit it right at me, and I'm gonna fucking blow it." Who's on base? I don't even know what's going on here.
I always hate that when it's like. you're coming in to save the game, and they, you realize like, oh shit, yeah, they got me at third. I'm gonna, this is gonna come, a screamer is gonna come right at me. I'm blowing this. Yeah. I suck.
So what did you move to Vegas to do?
Well, originally, I was going to move out here, and I had an old buddy with a pool business, and I was going to buy like a piece of the pool business and kind of have my own route and just kind of clean pools and live in a condo. As my buddy Carl Hess was joking with me on my show recently, that I basically live in like Del Boca Vista phase 4, like Seinfeld, like, but I really live more in like a starter condo community where it's like, it's not all geriatrics, but there's a few, but it's those of us who are getting ready to move into that lifestyle in about 20, 30 years or so.
But most of them still call you kid, probably. Hey, kid.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and I'm 42. So, I mean, I'm definitely not a child, but I am. No, like a lot of the locals at my local casino are super old people, but no, my community for the most part, it's people from like ages of 30s to like 60s. There's a lot of medical professionals because we're on the side of town where there's a lot of medical centers, hospitals, doctor's offices and all that stuff.
But you're a big sports guy. I'm guessing the luck stops here. Is that about betting or what?
Oh well, yeah, we talk a lot about sports gambling on there and get, but more it's more, I call it my love letter to degenerate culture. So it's not just the gambling, it's the drinking, it's the I have a plan to go get a regional pawn shop chain manager on soon. And find out what's like the saddest thing people have ever tried to pawn. And I have a friend who worked in the pawn shop business for a while who listens to the show, and he was telling me, he's all, prosthetics is the saddest thing you see in pawn shops.
Because, yeah, most people don't realize that, like, what happens is you get a loan for them to hold your thing, and then people bail out on it. They act like they're going to pay it back, and then they bail out on it. So try to get the biggest loan they can. Because if they're just going to buy it, they're going to pay less for it.
It's really like, I mean, for the most part, it's only going to be good. It's designed for the one person. So it's like,
yeah, it's like, oh, yeah. How are you even ever going to sell that? So you couldn't even give them that much money, right?
No.
Like, that's the saddest thing. They would literally sell an arm and a leg for like $15.
No, my buddy told me like people would come in with like a $1,400 arm and they would give them like $200 for it.
That's
crazy. But I want to talk to you about, you just mentioned before we started recording that you're going to be in an episode of 30 for 30. And if you don't know, that's ESPN's sports documentary series. Why are you going to be in one?
Well, it's kind of random. Willie and I are friends with Ben Berman, director of all kinds of shit. But he directed us in the How to Lose Weight in 4 Easy Steps short. Where you guys can watch that. It did pretty well on the internet at Sundance.
Is that Aaron Blaze?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but Ben usually throws me in random projects he does. And what was it, last year or 2 years ago, he had his doc about The Amazing Jonathan come out on Hulu, and that got a lot of positive attention. And
I actually watched that. I had no idea that was the same guy.
Right, and it's crazy because like, you take a great idea and then it implodes and they're like, what do you have left? Like his parents are in it.
it was crazy. Yeah. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, but like, there's like, he finds out about like three other documentary crews that are following around the same time he is. So it becomes a documentary about a documentary about a documentary about a documentary.
Yeah.
It really goes down the rabbit hole.
Those are the best documentaries where they actually discover something halfway through and it changes the focus of the thing completely, you know?
Oh, dude. Just a little side tangent. That fucking – the whole Tiger King, they were doing a documentary about illegal animals, mostly snakes. And then say, hey, you want to see this tiger? And then the whole series is an accident.
Yeah.
No, so – but Ben – he always like he's put me in all kinds of shit that he's done, and he when he told me he was doing this next, I told him like how big of a Gladiators fan I was growing up, and he's like, "Well, I got to get you in it," and I was like, "Yeah, right."
Fuck, man.
And then it turns out like
wait, American Gladiators?
Yeah, American Gladiators. So that's what this is. And so I mean, I was a huge fan, as most young boys my age were. You know, where like I think when I came out. It was like I was like 10 years old when it first came out.
I still got Nitro on my wall, the toy.
Yeah, like from like 10 to 13, man, that was my jam. Like, I love that.
if you're a listener and you don't know what we're talking about, it was the show in the 90s where, and it was on late too. It was like after Saturday Night Live, yeah, or maybe just before, or something super late. And it was just like, they had all these personalities, like basically like professional wrestling personalities. They called them like Nitro and Storm.
It was basically a bunch of like bodybuilders and former football players, like guys that weren't quite good enough for the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. Guys who like flamed out for whatever reason in their chosen profession, they like got these big men and women to be these gladiators, and then regular people would come in like firemen and stuff like that and try to like battle these dudes in a series of strange things. I remember there was a football one where you had to get by them, and then the last thing was they were just on a cannon shooting at you.
Yeah, tennis ball cannon.
Shooting tennis balls at you, and you were like trying to hit this target that was above their head with your own tennis balls. Fucking amazing. And they brought it back. They brought it back in like what, 2010?
No, it was 2008. I think it was during the writers' strike. Like they did it so they could avoid paying writers and have some content. Word. But they made that more of like an American Gladiator. I mean, more of like an American Idol type like competition, where like they kind of vote, like the audience would vote on someone each week or whatever, and Hulk Hogan was involved. It wasn't the same, like, because the old one, I'm a sucker for brackets, and the old one was a giant bracket.
Yeah,
and like you follow these guys week to week, and like, I mean,
you
like
learn
like,
them. You get your favorite one. You want them to win.
Yeah, and like Wade was saying, it's like a fireman or like a 24-hour fitness trainer. And these guys are just blowing their ACLs out because, like, a former NFL linebacker just clipped them at the sideline.
Yeah. And these guys were trying their whole failed career was in that one hit. You know, it's like they were pissed. They were strong. They were
But also, that was like, if you showed them up, they took it personally. Like, if you got points on them, the next time they saw you, they tried to fuck you up.
Yeah. And like, and the thing is so like, They blow out the ACL, and then they bring in a replacement guy. That's what you want to be in this, is one of the replacements. Because you come in halfway through the competition with fresh legs, right, you have a much better chance of edging the other guy out with inherited points.
So is this just a historical?
Vice is producing it, and they got Ben to direct it. And yeah, it's like a history of the American Gladiator. They have a whole, like, they have a lot of, most of the old gladiators have interviewed for it. Malibu was my favorite. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like the surfer dude.
Yeah,
he was like,
on, yeah.
Cosmic rays are healing me, bro. It took an excellent hit to the head. Like, he was great, but he's like a power team preacher now, where he like rips phone books in half and teaches people the power of Jesus. Oh, and
awesome. He should rip Bibles in half if that's the case.
Yeah. No. Korans. Rip up like other religions.
Right, yeah. Let's get xenophobic about it as long as we're doing it.
No, and like, but Ben had him shoot like a little cameo type thing for me to say, "Hey, Scott Bowser, what's up, dude? Glad you're a huge fan. You're awesome. You're cool." Like, it kind of made my day.
And are you in like a recreation or?
I'm a talking head.
Radical. So you're just like a fan who just talks.
Yeah,
about
you know
how great it was.
All these documentaries, there's always like a random fan at the end of the interview. I am that for this kind of.
Yeah, that's awesome, cool. Dude.
Have you seen a cut of it?
I haven't yet, but like I did a lot of research for it. Where on Pluto TV, there's a 24-hour American Gladiator channel. Yeah. So I was watching it for weeks leading up to it. Just like I watched like an entire season run at least like a couple times. Like,
do they watch someone on Pluto? Do they run them in order or is it random?
Yeah. So you get to see it like the competition develop. Like, you really see the storyline go. Like as you binge it, you're like, oh, this guy's a real contender. And then he gets hurt, and then you know the next guy comes in and he gets hurt, and it's a replacement that came in like the fourth round that ends up winning the thing because he hasn't had to spend 4 weeks of getting abused by these guys. Like,
I'm almost mad that you told me about that because now I'm just going to watch American Gladiators.
Oh, I mean, it really is incredible. I like the one where they're in the big hamster balls.
Oh, yes. They have to sit on top of a thing long enough to set the jet off.
It's almost like a landmine that they have to sit on.
It shoots
air up if they stay there long enough.
And this is like a later season one. I was watching it a couple of weeks ago. And this is a later season one. But do you guys remember the one where they're like it's almost like a slot car track, and they have those pads that like lock them in upside down by their hands and like knees, and then they gotta like like their way around the slot car track, upside down. They look like spiders crawling on the roof. Like,
do you remember the one? I like the one where they had bungee cords and they would all jump and you're just trying to slam dunk a ball.
Yeah.
And the gladiators are just playing defense.
I like the rings one where you have to get by a gladiator because, like, you could be fast enough, but if they basically wrap their legs around you and then yank you down.
Like the gym rings.
Yeah.
I feel like that one and the tennis ball one are the ones where you can use skill to beat them. Where the rest of them,
when they get you, dude, they're like punching your arms and like yanking down on you.
Dude, like the rock climbing one where it's just a regular rock climbing wall and you get like a 4-second head start on them and they get to come up after you and yank you off.
Right. And of course, it's the same setup every time. So they know how to fucking get up there super quick.
Now, see, I have a younger brother. I'm the oldest brother. And what all the American Gladiator games remind me of is like games older brothers design to pick on and tease their younger brother and give them no chance of winning. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
All right. Well, let's get a little bit more on topic here. We have something called the WOW scale. It stands for Waiter Willie. It's a 5-question quiz, and it's basically just going to tell the audience how into conspiracy theories you are. How does that sound? Are you ready to get weighed on the WOW scale?
Oh, yeah.
WOW scale. Are you a Wed or are you a Willy?
Okay. First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I believe in aliens. And I believe they have visited Earth, and I believe they've done it recently because our government has recently said aliens have been visiting our Earth. So, like,
now
they're trying to say it's military.
They said they don't know. But, okay.
There's something there, but also, I mean, it makes sense to me with a lot of like the weird technology that we've seen emerge in the last 80 years as an increase of all these sightings that went up. And who knows, like maybe with these sightings now, it's like we've communicated faster than ever. Like we don't really have much documentation of sightings in like the 17th century because people weren't like thinking, communicating. Yeah,
right. People weren't connected the way we are.
And then also, like, for most people, it wasn't a sighting. It was Jesus or an angel.
Their frame of reference doesn't allow that to happen. And, I mean, sure, maybe there could be something to say. Like, I'll concede a little here where it's like, you know, there is a rise in science fiction during this time. So, I mean, like.
Yeah. It's timed perfectly with sci-fi.
You know, it's like Isaac Asimov comes out. You start having all these fucking
And then it's like, it's just in your consciousness.
Yeah, you're thinking about it in the back of your head, especially like in the 80s and stuff like that, where you have Alien, Star Wars. I mean, there's all these major like space movies kind of thing.
Okay. Question number 2. Do you believe in ghosts?
No.
Where are you from?
Whittier, California, just outside of LA.
Were you raised religious at all?
Yeah, my mom and my grandma were pretty religious. Went to Lutheran Sunday school as a kid for a while, and then my dad was finally like, "Hey, he's fucking miserable doing this. Let's let him hang out at home and watch football with me on Sunday instead." It'd be a lot better for him.
Now, were you miserable, or was that your dad needing a football buddy?
I was 100% miserable.
Yeah, because it's like school on a Sunday. You don't want to do that shit.
Dress up. You have to dress up. Yeah.
And then a lot of times, my grandfather had a stroke when I was like, I don't know, like 7 or 8. And he was like paralyzed for half his body. So a lot of times when my mom and grandma would go to church, I would just drive down to my grandparents' house with my mom and then hang out with my grandpa all day and watch football and like golf and baseball and stuff. So,
okay.
My grandpa was a degenerate gambler too. So I kind of get, he first took me to the track. He first got me into betting sports like when I was a teenager. Like he was super cool.
Wow. Who do you think's going to win, Scott?
Scotty, who you got in the next one? I'm putting a big bill UC- down.
See, I grew up rooting for UCLA, and he was a big USC fan, so we would always bet on that game every year. So, like,
Oh man, you lost a lot of money, huh?
No, because this was during the time when UCLA had won 8 in a row against them.
Oh snap!
From like 91 through like 98 or whatever. So
before
I was killing it.
Did you hear that Reggie Bush now wants his Heisman back because they did that whole thing where now players can get money?
Yeah. Because they passed it, he should retroact. And I don't disagree, but
I don't either. I think he should.
But like, it's kind of like his was a case of all, like semi money laundering too. So like, there, you know, there's yeah.
He was getting a lot.
Yeah. So I mean, there
wasn't
like
he was had his own YouTube channel.
Yeah, like, and like the kind of people that have that much cash lying around, it's usually not the most savory people on the planet.
Sure. All right. Question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No. And my brother's a huge Bigfoot truther, but no, I don't. He hasn't sold me on it yet.
Wow.
Does he actually go out and look, or does he just
he just read a lot and watched a lot of documentaries.
Right.
I just like, to me, that one's kind of a, like, we would have scat and like remains at one point. Like, we'd find a Bigfoot skull. We're finding T-Rex skulls. Like, that have been dead for millions of years. Okay. Like, something that's currently alive, be found.
Let me counterpoint that. And it's not a good counterpoint. But aren't they still discovering new dinosaurs by finding, they'll find like a new bone and be like, oh, we didn't know about this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or they'll realize it's a variation on something they've seen before where it's like, oh, there was like, it's like dog breeds where it's like, oh, there's a whole group that are kind of similar like this, you know?
Yeah. Or they'll be like, oh, shit, we had the wrong head on this one dinosaur. It's actually this head.
Well, and a lot of dinosaurs too, they say now had feathers actually.
Yeah,
they didn't have scales, like they were feathered.
Do cannibals, you know how like indigenous people will use all of the buffalo? Do you think cannibals use all of the human? Like, yeah. Turn the skull into like a pot for beans?
Yeah, I think you kind of have to at that point. And also, like in Goonies, R.I.P. Richard Donner passed away this week. Like the one-eyed Willy skeleton organ, you know, there's a lot of potential to human furniture. Look at the work of Ed. Yeah, look at the work of a guy like Ed Gein, you know,
oh, dude,
he used
human
all
furniture.
The human.
Like, yeah, dude, all my enemies are furnishing my apartment.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Bob?
Okay, question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
No.
Have you been to a psychic ever?
No, but my grandmother and great-grandmother used to do like psychic stuff, and I saw how they used cold reading tricks, and they kind of showed me how it worked and some of it. So, okay, I think there are certain people that are kind of in tune and know what's going on and stuff, but for the most part, I think most of them are just using these old parlor tricks.
Yeah, okay. Last question. Are you superstitious?
Yes, because I'm a gambler. And so therefore, I'm like, oh, if I smoke a cigarette at a certain time during a game and my team scores, then I have to go outside and smoke a cigarette again. Or, you know, I got to do the... So I will do little stuff like that.
Is that the majority of your gambling, the sports betting? Or do you do sports, like blackjack and craps and shit?
Little horses, too. Like... I used to love playing blackjack and craps when I would come out here to visit when I lived in L.A.
Yeah.
But living out here, I realized, dude, you can't really have fun at the tables because this is an everyday thing. I don't want to get in that habit. It's one thing when I do it one weekend a year. But out here, like, I was betting on sports and horses all the time in L.A. anyway. So I like going to the sports and hanging out.
Yeah.
My local spots have super cheap drinks, so I just kind of like to hang out there.
What do you mean you have to go outside? Did they get rid of smoking inside?
No, but if I'm at home, you know, like, I go smoke on my patio. I don't even smoke weed in my apartment. Okay. My condo.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, I got to tabulate your score here. I think you're a one. So if you're more of a zero, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a five, you're more of a Willie. You're like a one. So you're more towards me when it comes to conspiracy stuff.
All right.
How's that sit with you? You cool with that?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not a huge conspiracy guy, like, so to speak. I mean, I am, but I'm not. Like, but the stuff that, like, the thing is there are conspiracies. Like, there is shit out there, you know?
There's, yes, for sure. Yeah, the Wild Scale is more about, like, the paranormal and not really about, like, the government, you know, selling us out constantly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, cause, like, a lot of the stuff with the government selling us out constantly, it's like they don't need to actually get together and have a meeting about it. All these people that come from, like, the same elite institutions and networks of elite families and all this stuff, they know what's good for them.
Right. Yeah. No, 100%.
Like, they don't need to have a sit down and be like, hey, Mortimer over here, he's going to take over this. And Rockefeller the seventh, he's got this covered. You know, like, they don't do that shit. Like,
all right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, Operation Mockingbird. Allegedly a large-scale program where the CIA used and manipulated news media for their own propaganda. How real is this? Has it ended? Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
The question is for both of you. Have you heard of Operation Mockingbird before?
Yes.
It sounds familiar, but I would never have been able to tell you what it was.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things where Mockingbird is something you've heard before. You've heard Operation before mixed together. But like, and this is weird because in the Wikipedia, it says alleged. And I'm like, no, this fucking happened. Why are you making this alleged? After the investigation that they put out, the CIA 100% was paying, blackmailing, getting journalists to tell their side of the story.
Well, that's a huge difference. So, like, in your little summary there, I was like, oh, I could see that happening, because, like, if you get a government source as a journalist and you're like, oh, this guy's on the up and up, he's giving me some stuff, but he's, like, feeding you a bunch of bullshit. I guess my question is, how implicit were the journalists in this, or does it vary?
It varies, but 100% there were giant publications that were down to say whatever the CIA wanted them to say, whatever their contact was, including CBS, Time, like
New York Times, Washington.
New York Post. Times, yeah.
Washington Post has had a long-standing history of cooperation with the CIA. I mean, it makes sense; they're right there, like
right.
And so, yeah. So yes, there are varying levels of it, but ultimately, there were people that were either blackmailed or paid really well.
But here's the thing about the Washington Post: like, your whole job as a journalist is to blow shit up, right? It's to, like, it's a check and balance for the three branches of government who are supposed to be checking and balancing.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, the press should be the fourth branch of government. Absolutely.
Right. But so for them to knowingly do stuff that's fucked up, shit, what was my point? I could see it these days where, like, Rupert Murdoch owns, like, you know, 50% of all news media or whatever. I don't know. That's a made up fact, but, or made up number. But, because then it's like, oh, you have to protect this man's corporate interests or we're going to fire you. I don't know. I'm working through my thoughts on this. So what?
Well,
what,
yeah. What? So the quick overview is, you know, at the end of World War II, the Office of Strategic Services, which then, you know, basically mostly turned into the CIA.
They took what they were doing over in Europe during World War II and just, instead of having a base in London that they operated in Berlin with, kind of, you know, out of, like, they just did it back home in Langley in Virginia, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they were in Berlin, they're shooting at propaganda or something?
Oh, I mean, the CIA or the OSS, they were running all kinds of, like, misinformation campaigns. You've got guys pretending to be double agents. You know, I'm like, you got to remember, the British kind of invented modern spycraft. So our first guys learned from the British. And not only that, like, I'm glad Willie brought up the OSS, because a lot of those guys are made up of, I love bringing these guys up, the Skull and Bones. And or like other, like, elite, like, secret society, Ivy League types. And the reason is those guys, there's a reason why you have those guys in the CIA and in intelligence, because first off, they come from families where they're well connected and they're just around powerful people. So they have access to all these things that most people wouldn't have access to. And then on top of that, they know how to keep secrets amongst each other. Like, they're very good at it.
Yeah,
right.
And so the idea is that, they were spreading misinformation around the world using fake double agents, paying off journalists and whatnot, just to try to sway the opinion of what was happening, you know? And then after World War II, they just were kind of like, well, they started doing it on our own citizens, partly for, you know, patriotism, nationalism.
You time it up with the Red Scare, with McCarthyism and anti-communist sentiment, where ending communism in Latin America was a huge priority. So you have like coups in Panama, El Salvador, all these kind of places like that, you know.
This is
100% backing. Like, and I mean, that's part of the reason. And people that complain about like Central American immigration here, well, a big problem of that has been the CIA waging war on them for the last 70 years.
So here we have the idea that, because the biggest part of the equation is that some people were paid really well to just basically print fake news because they were asked to, and they're convinced that they're doing the right thing because it's the CIA telling them, you know. And there were also students and student organizations that were, you know, they may not have been willingly. It's all encompassing. And so basically after, you know, Woodward and Bernstein, this is all kind of how it all came out. I can't think of the name of it. Watergate. After Watergate made everybody kind of look at the government and kind of see what, like, well, fuck, let's look at everything. So Bernstein goes off and starts researching. They put together this big committee to research a lot of things.
Yeah, the church committee.
Yeah. And church, because that's the senator's name from, what is it, Idaho? I don't know. Anyways, he was the head of it. And when they gave all of their when they talked about all their findings, like this was such a huge fucking deal. You know, Watergate was huge. And then I feel like this was bigger. Bernstein had a 25,000 word story that was in the Rolling Stones that was basically like, you know, concluding over the past 25 years, like over 400 journalists secretly carried out the work of this work, including Pulitzer Prize winners and stuff that were like, some were threatened, some were blackmailed, some were just paid.
So, can I give you a theory I have about all this? Like you're saying, Watergate, like the thing about Watergate, the connection to the CIA there is Frank Sturgis and E. Howard Hunt and these Watergate burglars. These guys were like longtime, like Bay of Pigs CIA guys. Like they had ties to the Kennedy assassination and all this stuff kind of thing. Like it goes deep with these guys. And so it was like, there's this CIA level of involvement, and then Bernstein's not part of that. And he uncovers this Operation Mockingbird report in Rolling Stone in 1977. And I have a theory that Bernstein is a CIA asset himself.
I don't see why he wouldn't be, you know?
Is he always in the right place at the right time, uncovering a thing that CIA agents are right there? He's like doing damage control almost for it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I agree with that. And I had
like, that's the best, like outside the box CIA thinking you can do is we're going to do a report on our operation where we manipulate the media by manipulating the media.
And you can like specifically sway the directions like, oh no, they got rid of all these files. Cause the whole time people are like getting rid of files, getting rid of evidence.
Yeah.
Makes it all confusing. And so, you know, in 1975, the head of the CIA, George Herbert Walker Bush, says, wait, does he have the Walker in there? It's just George Herbert, right? Fine, whatever.
He's George Herbert Walker, yeah.
Okay. He's the head of CIA in 1975, and he's like, No, we definitely aren't doing this anymore. We've stopped all the. We will not pay.
And keep in mind, dude, like when Bush becomes head of the CIA in 1975, they claim he had never worked for them before. When it was obvious he was a part of naval intelligence and early CIA operations going back to like 1947.
See, I always bring that up because to me, it's like, it's why? The biggest, like, no shit. But I always don't ever say it right. It's like, they didn't hire this head of CIA, just somebody off the street. Like, he was
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, like, no. I believe he had a failed Texas congressional run before that. Something like, I mean, his dad was a senator and was very powerful. But keep in mind, dude, this is the Skull and Bones connection. He was a Skull and Bones guy. They bring in a Bonesman to cover up the dirty secrets.
And so, you know, this is the 70s. I just want to bring this up because this is pretty crazy. I know I want to get more into more modern stuff, like when, because I don't think that this ever ended. But when they had their big congressional hearing, now I heard about this in the 80s, and I haven't looked it up any of this until now, and I'm like, oh fuck, I can't believe this. They brought up this heart attack gun that they had, because the whole thing is like, part of this is assassinating other world leaders. You know, this is sure we're everyone's upset that we're like spying on American citizens, but this is like fucking, it all starts before this top secret shit, you know? And so they exposed the fact that the CIA had a heart attack gun and that this gun would shoot someone. And it was this little piece of ice that would go into your skin. And so it wasn't a needle. There'd be nothing left behind and you wouldn't even find the entry point. And if you got hit with that, it would make it look like you had a heart attack and be undetectable, the poison or toxin or whatever was in there. So it's crazy to watch, because you can watch the video. I watched some videos of them asking them about this. So you, how does this thing work? And they're talking about in 1974, whatever this was, that the CIA had a heart attack gun. And I'm just bringing this up because my fucking mind is so blown. I can't believe that they're talking about this back then, and we've like basically haven't talked about it since then.
Well, I mean,
go for it.
Well, I just think like, yeah, I can imagine spies poisoning spies or other countries' officials, right?
Yeah,
it's like why do we talk about the heart attack gun when we had all that crack smuggling and other things they were doing in the
yeah. Funding their operations. Yeah.
You know, they're doing all kinds of fun stuff. So like,
I'd rather talk about the James Bond gun, the heart attack gun. You know, the heart attack gun. I think that's more fun than the crack epidemic of the 80s.
Yeah, and so here they are during this church committee presenting their findings. They're interviewing them about the heart attack gun. And I'm like, how the fuck have we not heard about this after? Like, who got the heart attack? So you look back at everyone since then who had a heart attack that happened to also be running like anti-war whatever, you know, anybody who was an enemy of the state.
You mean Americans?
Yeah
maybe. Were they fat?
Well, I don't know. I'm just pointing out, like, here they are.
Because if they weren't fat, then how could they have a heart attack? Let's take a quick break. Oh, no, you go on, and then we'll take a break.
As a fat guy who just went to the hospital a couple of months ago with chest pains, and my heart's cleared. I went to a lot of cardiology appointments over it, but my heart's clear. I'm all good there. But, as a fat guy with chest, like, everyone just looks at you and goes, oh, he's having a heart attack right now. I mean, it's just
Do you think that maybe you won the wrong bet and whoever was paying you out was like, I'll just shoot him with my heart attack gun and I won't have to pay him anymore.
Nah, man, I'm a nickel and dimer. I no one's doing that to me, you know.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking to Scott Bowser about, what's it? The Operation
Mockingbird?
Mockingbird.
Really Bad Movies presents The Time Traveler.
Hey, mister, are you they from the future?
Yeah. I got a lot of things to let you guys in on. The information that I have could save you all if you'd only listen. I've been here before.
This isn't his first time here.
I've been here before.
Motion elements.
And it won't be his last.
You never listen. You never listen to me.
Motion elements.
I'm trying to save you, dumbass.
Grandpa from the future.
Who's Grandpa?
I'm everybody's grandpa.
Grandpa from the future.
Motion elements.
This is not his first time. Grandpa from the future.
Motion elements.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We are talking to our friend Scott Bowser about Project Mockingbird. I got it. Willie?
Well, so here's the thing that I want to do real quick. I'd like to jump into the modern stuff. And so before we do that, Scott, I know you did some research. Do you want to give like a summary of what you think about either what happened or you know what I mean? Like I want to get more conversational about after this has happened. And I love okay. your idea that Bernstein is an asset, because I mean that being a CIA asset was an easy thing. Like I personally think that Obama's mom is a CIA asset, and that's why his records were hard to find.
I do too. I
think she prefers Oh Mama.
That's so dumb. It's awesome.
No, I totally agree. Like with that part, but like, I mean, you also like just, okay. Like it was, yeah, that I just in the overall history of the CIA, cause it started off with these like skull and bones, like type guys. And then they recruited this generation of dudes that hung out with like the mafia and like tried to assassinate Fidel Castro and all this stuff. Like they were doing like, they're like hip, edgy kind of dudes, like in their own like imperialistic, awful, like sociopathic way. But like now the CIA is like people they recruit from a fucking like state college, you know. Like it's like,
yeah,
it's like it's a guy that like thought about going to accounting school but instead decided to join the CIA. like they're a bunch of nerds basically. So it's like it used to be like the cool wife swappers that were like slipping dudes fucking slipping guys acid, you know. And then now it's a bunch of dweebs. And like it used to be a guy like Dan Rather would just get on the national news and give a CIA talking point about Vietnam or whatever the fuck it was, right?
Yeah.
But now, like, if you watch cable news at all now, you'll just see the CIA agent himself going on and saying this stuff. Like, it'll be like Deputy of Operation, International Operations, yeah, CIA, just talking right about it. Like, they're just doing it in front of us now. Like, they're not even hiding it. Like,
yeah, yeah, because now they are a source of trust, even though if you just look at any of the history, there's no reason to blindly trust any.
Well, but that's nationalism, right? Like, yeah, yeah. Not to be like super political about this, but like I'm imagining these people are on Fox News, right?
No, and MSNBC, CNN, they all have their CIA expert that comes on and says whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
Like there's
people buy that?
They basically interview them whenever something's going on. Well, you know, it's like how the NFL interviews a referee to protect, you know, that's a preemptive thing. Like, well, you know, it could go this way because of this. And it's like, we know that.
Like, yeah, yeah, exactly. And each network has their CIA person that comes on and regurgitates the agency talking points. Like, whereas before, like it was like people on like the actual media people, you know, and it's not even like I don't think Dan Rather is a quote like a CIA asset necessarily, but for him and his job and his position and make that kind of money for that long, you got to play ball with what the government wants you to do. You know, they're not just going to let everyone on TV like that. And like
yeah.
And so here's the question that I have. Like when I roll my eyes when I look at this wiki because they keep the word alleged, and I'm like, no, this is 100%. The findings are 100%. So it makes me go, when they say alleged, like, do you guys think that the CIA has a hand in controlling Wikipedia?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I mean, only the CIA would be so devious to ask for money all the time.
You think they're running Wikipedia?
Yeah. It's all a big nonprofit scam, dude.
Now I feel like a sap for giving them $1 10 years ago.
it's all funneling dark ops in Haiti, dude, knocking off their dictator or their president this week. You know, it funded the Bolivian coup.
Yeah, but I heard that dude was a bad dude. But I think that guy was a bad guy.
No
matter who you heard he was a bad guy from, it was from everyone trying to give you the narrative that he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but maybe he's a bad guy. I mean, like, how much distrust do you have?
I have a theory that most guys are bad guys, right?
It's impossible to be the president of a country and not, like, be an – you have to step on next. You have to be a dick. You have to be, like, a sociopath that thinks, I can fix all the problems. Only a fucking – crazy person would do that.
I don't even know if they think that. They just think, like, oh, I'll be the president and then I never have to work again. I can do whatever I want. I can stick my fingers in all the pies. You have to be a psychopath for sure to run for any sort of elected office, I think.
Unless you're Zach Galifianakis and the candidate. That's the only political character I've ever seen that's worth a shit.
So I think that you know, you get the head of CIA Bush, who was a couple years later secretly
vice president. CIA.
And then all of a sudden he's the fucking president, and
I understand that career path. Right?
That's not a crazy
career path.
No, not at all.
No, I agree with you there. I'm just saying that, like,
Oliver
North and all that stuff.
You're a lizard person and you drink the infant blood, there's no going back.
so here's my thing is that we kind of after things were exposed, everyone kind of goes back to trust in the government. And then in my eyes, you know, after 9/11, the Patriot Act happens, and then here comes Snowden, then whistleblowing everything. And like even in his whistleblowing, he's enemy of the state. Half of the country doesn't even know who he is or what he said. They think he's an enemy. And I'm just like, yes, the narrative of Snowden, it to me is proof that journalism is still bought out, because how many journalists were saying, yes, this hero is like pointing out the corruption but
here's where we come to a sort of standstill, because like I haven't paid attention to mainstream journalism in so long. Like anytime I hear of a big thing, I just go, I try to find as much information as I can, and then I sort of make my own.
Yeah,
I feel like
all three of us probably work in that manner, and it's hard.
Yeah,
because like
foreign news is good too, because I like seeing what outsiders' opinion on what's going on over here is.
Yeah, know? Like Al Jazeera, right? Like it's
Al Jazeera's great. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So I heard that Snowden released a bunch of government secrets, and I'm like, this guy's awesome. Like I love him. That's all I needed to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it didn't matter what fucking ABC or CNN or Fox was saying.
But the narrative was what? See, here's the thing: the spin that they got on him was like, you know, maybe they shouldn't be selling our information, but he could have released secrets that the enemy could use against us. I'm like, that's the CIA. That's the trying to get spin people into being like.
Well, that's the whole like, what about the children thing? Anytime like, so, you know, like, let's legalize weed. Oh, what about the children? Fuck the children. Like, who cares? Like, it's the same kind of thing. Like, oh, you're releasing national secrets. Oh, they could like bomb us now. Well, they could have bombed us anyway, man.
Yeah.
Well, like Will, you're like looking for like more recent examples of this, right? Of media. I mean, a great example. I have two really good ones I wrote down. Is one is the Iraq War.
Yeah, yeah.
To that, where I mean, we just saw all the mainstream media publications jumping on board together to push this narrative to invade Iraq. Like, you know, and
they were given information to half of them, but they were all on board to not question it properly.
Let's back up though, because we're talking about just after 9/11, right? Is that the
yeah?
I mean, it was like the Iraq war
we're talking about.
It was like a year or two after 9/11. I mean, yeah, it was just.
But it was very much like, oh, we think like the terrorists came from Afghanistan, so like we invade Afghanistan, and then we immediately switch our focus to Iraq for like almost zero reason.
Yeah. Yes, weapons of mass destruction, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But the way no one questioned that, and like the way like no one in the media was going, hey, why aren't we focusing on Afghanistan from this thing that happened to us recently? You know, it was a real quick pivot. It seemed like collusion. It seemed like coordination. You know, like hey, we all work.
How do you explain how we? And I agree with everything you're saying, but like, how do you explain? If they were all under the thumb of the government, how do you explain when they started reporting that there were no weapons of mass destruction and stuff like that?
Well, I mean, because the time had passed, they'd gotten what they want out of it. You know, once the war starts, it's done. You know, you can't pull out now. I mean, we just pulled out of Afghanistan or allegedly pulling out of Afghanistan this week. You know, and it's on almost the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
I'm trying to wrap my head around, like, if you are a journalist, how do you navigate these waters? You know, like, how do you, like,
oh, absolutely.
Do they say, like, there's no weapons of mass destruction, but don't release that story for like six more months?
And that's the thing, is most media now, whether we like it or not, is cable news, you know, mainstream cable news, whether it's Fox News, MSNBC, or CNN. That's where most people are getting their shit. They pick their level of bullshit, to quote Dennis, Dustin Hoffman and Hero, and they pick the bullshit that works for them, and that's the bullshit they go with. And and like with especially like I was thinking about this one too, or my second one, which I think ties into this, is like where I think it was really obvious is, remember when Trump the Trump administration assassinated that Iranian like number two?
Yeah, dude,
World War III. But that's like the one time CNN and MSNBC agreed with him and what he, like, it was like nonstop Trump panic on those channels all day, every day. And then the second he assassinates the guy that might trigger a major war, they're on board. Like,
right.
It was really, really telling. Like,
well, go on, Willie. I have more questions about, like, how do you think. Unless you have more points, can I ask questions?
Well, yeah. Just real quick, my thing is like I feel like after getting exposed, I feel like they just got better at it. You know,
they
weren't going to lose funding. They weren't going to lose their positions. They just had to go like, okay, not only do we have to get smarter, we have to get smaller, right? So it's like how do you get people without we can't blatantly pay anybody anymore. So what is it? Threats? I don't know. So like when I look at the only modern thing that is of recent, I really feel like this whole UFO thing happening now where they are specifically spilling the narrative of, hey, we can't even prove that there's aliens in here. This could be secret military. Like, we need to be able to defend against this. So even the UK this week was like, hey, the United States said that this could be secret military and this could be a threat to us too. And it could be aliens, but we need to be able to stop this threat. And they were so focusing on the fact that it was this UFOs are secret military. And I was just like,
and notice how it coincides with pulling out from Afghanistan. Where we're replacing one boogeyman with the next.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
You know, we replaced communism with terrorism. Now we're replacing that with aliens, because now they realize aliens are the one that we can milk this for the rest of our lives.
Yeah,
that could always be a threat. We never have to see the enemy now. we never have to see anything.
But I would rather dump money into the military, and I never want to dump money into the military. But I would much rather dump money into the military for a fake alien threat than a fake terrorist threat that like actually gets people killed.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
does that mean I'm complacent in is it the military industrial complex or like, what's
I think that's the cycle we need to break. Yeah. Is like the fact that we spend more than like the next 29 countries combined in military spending. Like we don't really need to be doing that. You know, we can dial back our military spending literally by like 75%.
We could use the same everything we have now. We could sit on for 100 years and no one's going to jump above us.
Did you guys see that video that was on Twitter recently where it showed the videos of them using like that like crazy 44,000 ton bomb on a new submarine to prove that it can handle like the craziest combat conditions?
No.
So we're just literally just bombing, using our most expensive bombs on our most expensive subs, just in like a flex show out in the middle of the ocean while the ocean's on fire, by the way.
Yeah, that was the crazy. Did you see that way?
Seen the ocean on fire. No,
there's like a gas line that erupted and it's on fire. So when you look in the ocean is on fire. There's just bubbling fire coming out from this oil fucking tunnel, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
it's very depressing.
And hey, CIA people, what have they always controlled? Like the routes of CIA guys, like what they're always involved in is either banking, oil, or media.
Yeah. But the media is not a moneymaker, right? That's just to keep everyone on
your side.
It's
the PR department. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, but how do you think it actually looks? So like back in the day, it was blackmail or bribery. But these days, now that this is what I was touching on when we first started, now that all media is controlled by like two or three people, you only have to pay off those two or three, right? And then they sort of send it down the ladder like, hey, report this.
Yeah, it's by design. Yeah.
The payoff can just be through the IRS. You know, like it can be something that is untraceable because there isn't a payment.
Like all the cloak and dagger stuff that they used to do to get info on people, we literally all walk around with microchips and speakers on us now, recording everything we're doing for them with a camera.
Yeah. So do you think that like, and now we're getting sort of off topic, but really deep. Because you mentioned earlier, like technology, Scott, you mentioned technology and our leaps in technology. Do you think that that's all sort of like from, do you think that basically the iPhone came from the CIA?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, look at like the B-2 bomber in like the 1950s, where it still looks futuristic, dude. Like it's insane.
Take the SR-71 that was made in the 60s. The gas tank leaks until it gets in the air because it's like there are holes in it, but once it starts going fast, it compresses. So it was designed to leak gasoline until it's flying. It's like, what the fuck? Like who could have thought of that? Like, oh, it just leaks gas. You know, it's made to be whatever. It's like,
The bushes, the pot of oil has a piece of it, so we need to make sure it leaks as much gas as possible.
yeah, dude.
Which was a huge CIA money laundering front. Yeah.
But like, I just think because there's all these conspiracy theories now about the vaccine having a microchip that's going to track you and stuff. And my retort to that is always like, you carry around a phone that's like tracking you constantly, so like why would they need to?
We're doing this voluntarily.
Yeah.
and I'm wondering is like I think that's the easiest thing to make people complacent, right? Just like give them a little computer that they can put in their pocket that can record everything that they do. Steve Jobs or Apple or whoever, I mean he's not the brains there, but like do you think they got paid and they're like, yeah, let's fucking just put a camera in everybody's pocket.
Well, I mean, think about when you're younger, how many times you just wanted to have a camera all the time. So, I mean, I'm on board with it. You know, we just didn't know how it could be turned into it. I mean,
I think somebody got paid off to keep quiet about the fact that they had access to it, you know. Now, not everybody knew that.
But there is positives coming out of all this too, of like more crimes being caught. Like the George Floyd thing is a great example of everybody having a camera.
Oh, sure, the camera,
being a good thing and making sure like justice ended up getting served.
Snowden is basically saying that every single phone conversation is recorded. Yeah.
The George Floyd thing is great, but the guy who shot the George Floyd thing is under like constant fucking. Like yeah, the cops will not leave him alone.
You know what happens? I've heard from people is like if you do something like that in a town like Minneapolis, right? Let's say, right? And now you're like, I'm moving to Albuquerque to get away from these cops who are harassing me. The cops there will inform, find out where you move, and inform your new cops, and then they'll start harassing you there. Like you're just not running away from. You got to go Unabomber shack in Montana.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Make an enemies list. Go full nine, man. Like that's the only way around it at that point. And I have no problem doing that one of these days.
Hey, you know, an interesting side note. I know you brought up McCarthy, the Red Scare and all that. McCarthy actually went after some people that were involved in Operation Mockingbird, and that's kind of how he got shut down.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, he fucking Mockingbird Operation guys.
Mockingbird has its ties to the McCarthy era. Yeah, like...
So McCarthy actually thought he was doing something good, and then he just stumbled down the wrong thread.
Yeah, he started fucking with the wrong people. Yeah,
yeah, and they fucking got him. It's like, dude, you know,
like especially around that time, you got to think of like the Dulles brothers and like these early founders of the CIA. These guys were untouchable.
Yeah, yeah, like, they were above the president, 100%.
They were able to run their own shadow government, you know, like,
yeah.
And so the fact that like, I mean, and they were like, dude, there's a lot of thugs in there. Like, dude, they were like their own mob. That's why they worked with the mob. Like it was like, they ran in similar circles basically. Like,
so my biggest question is like, and I always say this about the mafia too. The mafia didn't end. They just got better at business. And so the CIA corruption just got smarter and more undetectable. So I'm like,
I like to think of those guys rolling in their graves, watching all these like number crunching nerds pushing pencils in cubicles now, which is the majority of what the CIA does.
I'm like, they're still evil. The mafia never left Vegas. I don't know.
I don't want to say too much because, you know, I want to be able to start my car for work in the morning. But like, yeah, all the unions out here are totally controlled by the mob. Like they got kicked out of the count room. Like they had a casino, which shows the mob getting kicked out of the count room and the skim. Yeah, that ended. But they controlled all the like linen unions that get delivered towels to every hotel. You know how much money you can make if you hold out back towels from one of these places? Like,
yeah.
All like the maintenance workers, all that stuff. Yeah, man, it's pretty wild.
Well, that's the whole like garbage thing, right? Like in New York, I don't know how many years ago, they just like stopped picking up garbage, and it was give us what we want, dude.
Well, especially commercial garbage in Manhattan, especially back then, because it used to be like, okay, if I own a garbage company, you own a garbage company, Willie owns a garbage company, we're all gonna like each get our own territory, essentially.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have these routes. You're going to have these routes. You're going to have these routes. This is my neighborhood. But in Manhattan, the way it worked was like each commercial business had to find the. So we could each have our own garbage company, and we can legit be picking up from three buildings next door to each other. Bam, bam, bam. I service this one. You service that one. You service that one. And like those all controlled by the mob. And what they would just make the prices so insane. And they like, so if the three of us were in a bid club together, we'd each take turns on who got to get the low bid that would get the job, but we would make sure the other two bid so high that we're all going to make money on it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, bid rigging is classic. And the CIA guys used to like Bush and like those oil guys, they were bid rigging oil contracts for years. It's the same shit. Like that's why these guys got along so well. There's a common mutual interest and modus operandi. Like
I say this all the time. Like we lost. We already lost.
Yeah,
we're done.
Yeah, yeah. We're like,
There's nothing we can do anymore. We can talk about it all we want, and it's not going to change anything.
If you come up with a good idea, you're just going to get bought out by the person that you're going to end their business.
Wait, it ended November 22nd, 1963 in Dallas, Texas. That's the moment.
How I feel, too. That was the last guy to like try to stand up to anybody.
Yeah, and he got shut down real quick because he challenged all sectors of it, the military industrial complex, the financial sector, all of it. And the thing was that it's like, let's not like make him some like progressive saint.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fucking rich Ivy League kid who literally learned about the Depression while attending Harvard in the 30s.
and basically he ripped off the mob.
Yeah.
Into power. It's like finally
his dad cut a deal with him, and then him and his brother were idealistic young pricks about it kind of thing. As they're spit roasting Marilyn Monroe.
So I mean, with all that, it's just like,
hey, Marilyn, how do you like these apples?
why do they have to even hide the fact that anything's corrupt anymore? You know, like what, like us saying that like something is corrupt. Like I feel like we're so far.
No, that's why I felt like that
we can't even do anything about it.
That Trump Iran thing was a perfect example of the way that the media and like the different channels treated him, but the way they all got on board on a major military strike. Like it was really telling. Like it said so much about the way these guys are so, because to them that would have been the media bonanza of a century, not just a war under Trump. Like, oh my God, that's just like round the clock. Like they can stop talking about his tweets for a minute, you know, and still talk about it. Like, I mean, but I mean,
it's like jizz-worthy news, right? Like they would love for that to be. They would love to skewer Trump over
World War III.
Yeah.
They would rather see millions of people suffer in a situation like that and get good content out of it. Like for us, like, you know, it's fun talking about this shit to get good content. But like for them, it's like they legit need human suffering to make a living. And that's downright shameful, guys. And I hate to be a moralist here because like I do a show about drinking and doing coke in bathrooms in Vegas. So I mean, I'm not exactly a moral authority.
Oh, well, okay, but stop right there, because there's nothing immoral about feeling good all the time.
Yeah.
You're not hurting anybody unless there's like farm workers getting the coke that are getting, you know, like abused or something.
They
like,
probably are.
They probably are, but if it was legal, they wouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like this whole I think every drug should be legal. I think gambling should be legal everywhere. I think prostitution should be legal everywhere. It's like if you legalize it all, I think a lot of the corruption stops. And that's
I like what people say
they won't do it.
I like what people tell me. Well, if they legalize, because I agree. When I tell people that, people go, well, if they legalize gambling everywhere, people won't go to Vegas. I'm all, you live in California or wherever, there are like Indian casinos or like card clubs in every state now.
Yeah,
you can go to a casino in every state. Why do people still come to Vegas? Like if that's the case, well, it's because of the alcohol laws. It's because 24-hour drinking. That's why
it's also the mecca of like having fun. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah, like you can go to a casino out here, but it's not as fun.
And you're not allowed to touch dice and stuff like that. So like, there's little all these intricacies that are very controlling.
Yeah, you have to pay to play each hand of blackjack and stuff like that. The California card clubs. And
yeah,
stuff.
I'm like, what are we doing? What?
Right.
It's impossible if you eat the house at that. Yeah.
But if you stopped all that, if you made all the rules the same for everyone, and so in California you could have all the same fun, people would still go to Vegas because it's a little Disneyland for adults. You know.
Funny
it's a
about
luxury
local
land. You're right. It is a theme park for adults. I don't want to ride a ride. I want to win the lottery every pull.
So a couple hours up north in Pahrump, because Clark County is huge, right? It's like a big chunk of the state in the south portion where I live. Pahrump County is the place where everybody gets illegal fireworks. But here's the thing is you can buy fireworks there, but fireworks are illegal there. So they give you a temporary pass to drive out of the county with them.
What?
But at the county borderline, get this, because like the fireworks stuff is like deep in the county. The county fire line, that's where they have all the brothels. So they try and like entrap people into like, you go on a fireworks run. Hey, I'm going to stop by the whorehouse. Oh shit, my temporary permit ran out. I just got arrested for fireworks. Like, it's like a crazy little county, like, I mean, it's some old, it's some Wild West stuff out here, guys. It really is.
Have you been to the nuclear museum there?
I have not, but I have been to Atomic Liquors, which is a bar that the Rat Pack used to party at back in the day and would watch the nuclear bomb testings go off at from the patio.
Have you been to the, what's the bar that we used to live next to? The Griffith out there? There's a Griffith. Same.
No, I've walked by it, though. I've seen it, yeah. Remember, I told you on my show I had a beef with the owner there.
So. Oh, yeah.
He said, I don't go there.
Because you're a Proud Boy, and he was like, we had a weird thing with Proud Boys.
Yeah. Me and all my Proud Boys showed up, and we were like, hey, I hear this is where to party when you're in Atwater Village. And they were like, you guys got to get new Fred Perry shirts.
Fucking dorks, man. Hey, let's be super violent, but dress like rugby players.
Yeah, let's just... They really do dress like barbacks at like a Buffalo Wild Wings.
They dress like English 14-year-olds.
Yeah, dude, that's like hilarious.
Wannabe soccer hooligans, dude. That's all they are.
Yeah. Let's get back to Project Mockingbird.
Operation Mockingbird.
Operation Mockingbird. Kind of final thoughts. Let's wrap this up. You know, Willie, any sort of like final part? Or no, Scott, you got something. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just wanted to reiterate that Carl Bernstein's a CIA asset that was doing a lot of their dirty work in the 70s and uncovering enough to be good in the public eye, but doing enough damage control for them to set the next generation of Reddit nerds that were going to take over the CIA eventually.
And so here's my thing. I mean, that's hilarious. I feel like the way they're smart enough to say, hey, if we want to control the way that the information is put out there, we just have to get ahead of it. And so my example of what's happening now is, with Tom DeLong, like he is whistleblowing UFOs, but the company that he teamed up with,
hang on. So Tom DeLong is the lead singer and guitar player of Blink 182.
Yeah.
I thought it was Mark Hoppus. I could never keep those guys.
Oh, wait, which is which? He's one of them. The drummer is completely removed.
Yeah, who cares about that guy? He sucks.
So
he's a pedophile.
I mean, basically he teamed up when the internet
Hang on. Yeah. I can't let that go. Travis
Barker.
Is a pedophile?
Barker?
He's a
No, he's not a pedophile, is he?
No, it's just funny to say that.
Knock it out,
It would be great if all three of them were into some weird illicit shit.
Dude, I just talking about this, like I was commenting on some Instagram profile that was like clearly like really religious, and I was like, why is Jesus losing so bad? And then immediately somebody was like, sounds like a pedophile. I was just like, man. You can't even troll them because like the way that they troll bounce back is like so hard.
The force is strong in those ones. Like, here's the thing, dude. It's a bulletproof strategy. You accuse everybody that disagrees with you of being a pedophile, and there's no comeback because now you're
There's even a lesser version of that where if you ever speak, this is a Reddit comment section thing. If you ever speak up for someone that everyone is trashing, then they're like, oh, found the fucking pedophile. And it's just like, nah, man, well, and that's a bad example because you would never speak about it. Or like found the boomer, you know, if you're like, yeah, well, they do have a good point. And it's just like, man, like, fuck off.
I remember on Jim Rome's show when like Jim Rome asked David Stern, the former NBA commissioner, if they fixed the draft lottery for Patrick Ewing. And he was like, do you still beat your wife?
If
you ask someone a really difficult question, they can't answer one way or another. You can't say, no, I don't still beat my wife. You know, like, you're trapped
by
that.
It's that arbitrary, like, yeah. But also, like, just say no, Stern. Yeah. But right? What are you thinking?
I really wanted people to answer.
I've never heard a more resounding yes than do you still beat your wife?
Yeah.
I really want someone to answer me, why is Jesus losing so bad? If Jesus is real, why is he losing so bad? Well, whatever.
It's because he's a Jew? I don't
know. Whatever. I really wanted an answer, and then I just got accused of being a pedophile. I'm like, my God, I get it. You know, anyways. Just saying that, like, here he is. He's coming out to try. He's Blink 182.
We're talking about Jesus now. I forget. No, we're talking about Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge.
He gets.
I know how you can mix the two up. Wait, it's pretty easy.
He's the god of rock.
He's Blink 182. Early internet days. He gets connected to some people that actually have some UFO information because they're fans of his. Right. Whatever. So I'm just saying that whatever he's doing to the stars, they're trying to be the good guy and say, hey, aliens are real. They teamed up with someone that is just trying to push this narrative that, like, yeah, we don't know if we can defend against them, you know? And I'm like, hey, if aliens are real, that there's proof that they're not a threat to us. And so this is one of those things where no matter what happens, the spin is always that our military needs to be beefed up. And I'm like, just saying, like, this is very suspect. Anything in this realm,
if they wanted to evaporate us, they would have done it a long time ago.
And if you look at the history of UFO files, if they're saying that a couple of them are real now, then you kind of have to look at all of them. And it's like, well, we have proof of us trying to shoot them down and they didn't fire back. Just like the spin is that everyone is so afraid that the aliens could attack. And I'm like, hey, if there's proof that they've been here forever and here we are nuking ourselves, I'm just like, this is CIA spin to just get military industrial complex. They're all spun together to get the funding. And I'm like, can we ever break out of corruption? You know,
No, and the answer is no. Like I said, halfway through the episode, we've already lost. We can't do anything. It's fun to talk about, but like, yeah, okay. If aliens are real and they've been here, then yeah, they're nothing to fear. Right. I agree with everything you just said. I'm just parroting everything you said. Like, but so it, okay. So here's my point. It would take real journalism to blow any of this up, right? It would take like I think like these hackers, like Anonymous, even though they're like fucking goons and like dorks and the whole fucking mask from a Warner Brothers
God,
movie.
God, that's
like,
fucking that's terrible movie. Yeah.
The V for Vendetta. Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, you fucking dorks, man. You guys are dorks. But like, they do sometimes do good shit, and I feel like it's going to take a network of like anti-establishment journalists like that who could be protected by like some sort of hackers or something. You would have to be totally anonymous with all your reports, and then people like Willie would be like, well, why is he anonymous? He's got ties to but the whole thing is like it would have to be like independent journalism actually breaking stories, you know, finding the corrupt people, putting it out there, you know, without the fear of like recourse.
If they weren't anonymous, they would get killed. Yeah. Well, yeah. Exactly.
One thing we have working for us that might make this happen is we have such an inadequate healthcare system in this country that everybody like pretty much has loved ones that die for no reason other than an inadequate healthcare system. So the more and more that keeps happening, the more and more people want to get revenge on the system by becoming better journalists and exposing how big of a crock of shit it all is. So I'm trying to find the silver lining on the cloud.
Yeah. So I mean, maybe that's the long con. Like whoever ruined the healthcare industry in America was like, no, but like 200 years from now, journalism will be back.
We'll have a free and independent press because of this. Trust me.
Yeah. Just wait.
A lot
just
of
wait.
People dying for no reason.
Yeah, but people are dying. No, but like it's the long con. Have you ever conned anybody? You got to fucking just wait. You just have to wait.
Yeah.
You've clearly never seen The Sting, okay?
And
it's
my.
It's never the con you think it is. It's always one beyond that.
Yeah, we got to do a couple warm up cons to get to the big con.
My short
con. Haven't you seen Ocean's 11?
My short con is contact aliens and just become the ambassador.
Hey, listen. Here's the thing. If aliens are out there, I think everything that you believe is correct. And they're like, these motherfuckers, we are not getting involved because they're like insane and they'll fucking kill us too. So let's just like.
I like to think their feed's weird. I like to think they keep weird hours and their feed's weird. So they only ever watch daytime television in America. So like their whole like idea of us is just like court shows and Maury Povich and Jerry Springer.
Yeah. They're like, just like,
and that's
these guys
why
don't
only
have any problems at all. They just don't. They want to know who the father is. That's
yeah.
It.
Like, and no, that's why it only appears to people in rural communities that are like out in the middle of nowhere because these are the people that go on the Jerry Springer show. Dude, it makes perfect sense.
All right. Well, we're fucked, and we've been fucked for a long time, and it's fun to talk about. And at the end of the episode, it's always depressing. But Scott, thanks so much for being here. Do you want to plug anything while you're here? Obviously, the Luck Stops Here podcast.
Yeah. Check that out. Also, I have a new one that's coming out. It should be coming out pretty soon called Run Rock Run, a Dwayne Johnson for President podcast with my buddy Eli Braid.
What?
And yeah, he's a fun. He's
I didn't
really
know
fun
you
guy.
Knew Eli.
I know.
Eli.
That's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
weird.
We're good pals. Yeah. So we've recorded like 3 episodes already. Hopefully, we'll start releasing them soon. I don't know how many we're going to do because it's
awesome.
It's definitely kind of got a limited shelf life. But
can I pitch you something for that podcast?
Yeah, for sure, dude. For sure.
It ends. Every episode ends with an Eli parody song.
Lately, we've been just using songs of something we kind of referenced during it. So it was like. I forget what the first one, but like we use like a Bad Brain song. It's been kind of cool. It's been fun.
Okay, well, that's not my pitch.
I do. I just don't want to put Eli on blast. I'm like, hey, dude, you also got to do a parody song each week for our show.
Yeah, like, he would fucking love it, wouldn't he? Love it?
Like all his rejects from the Howard Stern show.
Just tell him Wade said to do it. Just tell him Wade said to do it. He'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be like, hey, dude, Wade said you have to do this for the show, man. Like, we're not doing it anymore. But, it's mostly us making the dumbest dick jokes. It's a lot of fun.
Hey,
I think.
Hey, man, I have a pitch for you, too, that is I feel like you should make a guidebook to Vegas for degenerates.
I'll do you one better. I'm already planning this. I'm going to be doing an audio tour. Where you put your headphones on and walk around places, and I'll give you the because I remember doing that at Alcatraz when I was a kid. So I want to do an audio tour of weird places in Vegas.
Like what? Like where Tupac got shot and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, you know I work right around the block from where Tupac got shot, and I used to in L.A. I used to work right like a block away from where Biggie got shot. So I
so you're connected.
Shot them both.
Yeah,
I clearly did it. It was me.
I'm going to call LAPD and tell them they don't give a shit, so it's fine.
A lot of people think the CIA did them, you know? Who knows? Especially Biggie. Like, you ever heard about the man in the bow tie caught walking away?
No.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's some wild theories about Biggie. Maybe I'll have to come back and do that one with you guys sometime.
That'd be fun. We've done it before, but never with that perspective.
Yeah. We'll do the CIA version of both.
All right, Willie, any plugs?
Here's a plug that might not be exist anymore. Slots of Fun used to have $3 blackjack tables.
They got rid of the tables, dude. It's basically all machines now. Dude, they used to have a $1 craps table too. It fucking ruled, man.
Oh man.
I'll say this. What's the train car out there? They brew their own beers and their beers are like a buck. And they do slot tournaments every day.
It's something station, right?
Yeah, it's something. The Palace Station.
We did a slot tournament there. It's not
on the Strip, and it's not on Fremont. It's like somewhere else.
Oh, dude. Okay, there's the Sunset Station. There used to be the Texas Station. Was it the Texas Station? I think it was. The Palace Station. I think you're talking about the Palace. And then Santa Fe Station, and then the Red Rock, which is definitely not it. But those are the station casinos. I'm a regular at almost all of them. So.
I know.
Slots tournaments are fun.
Figure it out for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Right. I guess people can follow me on Twitter, too, @Scott_Bowser. That's always fun. Lately, I've been obsessed with Jose Canseco on there. He's the greatest man on the
planet. Oh, fuck him, dude. He did a tweet where it was like, hey, if you follow me, I'll follow you back.
And then he didn't follow back.
He didn't follow anybody. I know.
It's a good bit, dude. It's a very good bit. But I love his anti-Alex Rodriguez tweets to the best. Like the other day, it was just like, happy 4th of July to everyone except A-Rod. That is grade A smack talk right there. Dude,
he's just the classic steroid asshole.
Yeah, no, I love it. He has a car wash here in town.
Yeah, of course he is. It's Jose Canseco.
I wouldn't even.
This is the thing that turned you against Jose Canseco, that he didn't follow you back.
The fact that he's pulling digital tricks in his 50s. Get the fuck out of here, man.
Pretty funny, dude.
We're going to continue the conversation on real life, more sci-fi. Scott, are you going to stick around for that?
Yeah. Let me just grab a beer and I'll be there with you.
All right. So we'll continue that conversation about who knows what. Thanks for listening, everyone. Remember, you're good. Go get a beer. It's fine. The Patreon is patreon.com/reallifesci-fi if you want to listen in. And remember that that just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening.